Insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
I was recording something this morning under the outstanding editing of our producer, Snoop Daniel, and it was about March Madness to come. March Madness. We all get ready to talk about the madness of March, and then it hit me. We've been living in madness for nearly exactly 365 days. And so 1 year later, we try to push on through that madness and get back to the regular madness of March. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower. Here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, where we're live, we're local and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. We're with you up until noon. Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey will follow us. And then RBKD, the triple option, Rod Babers, Brad Kellner, Kevin Dunn follows at 3 o'clock. My co-host, Jeff Howe, will be joining us momentarily. He is, along with Rod Babers and Matt Butler, putting the finishing touches on this week's Longhorn Blitz podcast, which you'll be able to hear coming up. So they're finishing that up right now, and he'll join us momentarily. Meanwhile, also, ever-present, ever-ready, except when he's quarantined and forced to not join us, and thank goodness that hasn't been the case now over the past several days, is our erstwhile producer, Jonathan John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. You know him better as Snoop Daniel. Good morning. How was your weekend?
It was full. Lots of
travel. A full, rich weekend.
A lot of driving. I felt a little Craig Way-ish going to San Antonio Friday and Houston Saturday. And I'm telling you, like, parts of my back and shoulder, my foot, legs, hurt a little bit. That's
Snoop, you're not that old. You shouldn't be having all kinds of aches and pains just from driving. Now tired, I get.
Aches, but I guess I'm good now. But I do not like traveling, so it would be difficult if I was blessed to do something like you do. It, man, just the amount of mileage. I mean, because you're traveling more than you're doing what you are traveling to do.
The time involved you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's kind of how a lot of that works, unfortunately. Tell everybody where all you went and the places that you were and the things that you did.
Friday I watched Glenn Grizzlies, who are getting very little love from the local press, and I get it. You know, I don't get it, but man, they shellacked a great McAllen team. They trailed them by 13 in the first quarter, and they won by 17.
Mm.
Byron Harkless is a great coach. They got, you know, guard play. Just like with UT, how the guards go for the Longhorns is how Glenn goes.
It's a big thing in tournament play.
So they'll play undefeated Beaumont United tomorrow. I don't want to drive back to Houston, but I even asked on Twitter, should I cover a district baseball opener or go to the state semifinals?
I think you're asking for your answer. That's the deal there. You're kind of
asking for some
guidance on that. Is that what you're doing?
Yes. And so, but I went to Houston to watch Cedar Park advance to their first ever state finals game.
Sure.
Destroying an previously undefeated Beaumont United team. They beat them by 24 points.
Yeah.
Man, they are so complete. That team, I swear, their second team could challenge for state. They're that good.
Well, the Timberwolves are in the state championship game for the first time ever. Congratulations. Cedar Park's 26-1.
Donnie Ott.
Yeah. And
I'm calling back-to-back state titles, by the way. They're that young.
Yeah. They're playing Frisco Liberty Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. In fact, I can tell you the other state championship matchups in the girls' state tournament. Again, normally the girls' state tournament is the week before the boys. Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the week before. But because of what happened with whatever you want to call it, Icemageddon, Snowmageddon, all the winter storm event, everything got pushed back. Playoff games got pushed back. So they ended up separating those state semifinal games from the state championship. You mentioned New River in Houston, right? What arena was that?
Del Mar.
Oh, at Del Mar. Okay.
It's really nice. They wouldn't let me on the floor, but they let me like right next to it.
Okay. All right. Welcome to my world. Dude, I mean, I'm up in the Arena Park calling the two basketball games yesterday. It's rare that we get on with them. We were in Norman, but it doesn't happen often. And we won't be in Kansas City either for the Big 12 tournament. More on that coming up. So they separated the semifinals from the finals. So the girls' state championship matchups are as follows. I'm going to throw these out. You tell me where these places are located, Snoop. Here we go.
Oh.
All right. 1A.
No.
Yeah. That is a fun, isn't it? Nazareth and Dodd City.
Oh, my goodness.
Nazareth and Dodd City. Do you know?
Jesus of Nazareth, I know.
Yeah, well, it's not that Nazareth. That would be a really long bus trip. No, it's not that Nazareth. It's up in the panhandle of Texas. The Swifts, the Swiftettes are the girls. One of the hallmark programs in girls' high school basketball. Dodd City is in northeast Texas up by near Paris. Okay? All right. That's in 1A. That's Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. They've got some separation between them. 4 hours later at 2 o'clock, the 3A final, Brownfield and Fairfield. You know where the two fields, Brown and Fair, are located?
Fairfield is...
You should know where Fairfield is.
Kind of close to Corsicana.
Not far, down I-45.
I've been to Fairfield
about
before.
Another 50 miles, yeah.
Uh-huh. The other field.
Brownfield? It's out by Lubbock. Okay. South Plains. Okay. 7 o'clock, Cedar Park, Frisco Liberty. You know where that is, yes. Right? Roger Wallace will be calling that telecast on Fox Sports Southwest. They're calling the 5A championship. Normally I do it, but because it got moved to Wednesday, I'm going to be in Kansas City. So I won't be calling. But Roger Wallace is going to step in for me, and he's going to work with Neil Raphael on that call. And that game... they're going to call the 5A instead of the 6A because when the NBA rescheduled it, remember they had the kind of flex scheduling for the final month of the season, they put everything on. When they did it, they just overloaded Wednesday and Thursday, Wednesdays and Thursdays all the way through the rest of the regular season. So Fox Sports Southwest, they have no shot at all to be able to televise the Thursday night championship game in 6A, which we'll get to in a minute. So anyway... But the good news for folks in these parts, Cedar Park will be playing on television. So that'll be Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Cedar Park, Frisco Liberty, 5A State Girls State Championship. Thursday, 10 o'clock in the morning, Lipan and Martin's Mill. Can you tell me where that is? That's the two.
No.
Either of those. All right, Lipan, you know where Granberry is?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
You know where Mineral Wells is?
Yes.
Okay.
Dallas area?
Well, west of it.
West.
And Granberry is southwest of that, like on your way to Stephenville.
Okay.
Lipan is between Granberry and Mineral Wells. All right. Martin's Mill. Martin's Mill? East Texas. Little town called Ben Wheeler, but that wouldn't have helped you out either. It's not far from Tyler.
Tyler. Okay.
Yes. All right. That's at 10 in the morning. 2 in the afternoon. Canyon and Hardin Jefferson. Not New Braunfels Canyon. Or Comal Canyon, incidentally. Canyon.
That's where, oh gosh, I don't know.
It's Panhandle. That's Panhandle. That's just south of Amarillo.
Okay.
That's where St. Edward's season came to an end on Saturday. Got all the way to the championship round of the Lone Star Conference tournament as the 8-seed, but they lost to West Texas
A&M. Is there a college in Canyon?
West Texas A&M.
Oh.
It used to be West Texas State years ago. They're West Texas A&M. And, all right, so they're playing Hardin-Jefferson. You know where that is? It's in Sour Lake. Does that help you?
No.
It's over by Beaumont. Okay, that's the 4A at 2 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, the 6A, Cy Creek with the two University of Texas signees.
Yes.
Against the Snoop Daniel alma mater, the DeSoto Lady Eagles, made the state championship in 6A.
Yes.
You excited about that?
I hope, you know what, maybe I'll see some people, because now all the people that are my age are now the coaches.
Yeah, that's right.
And parents of these kids. I'm pretty sure I'll see some folks that I went to school with. Matter of fact.
That's Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Cedar Park's playing Wednesday night.
Okay. The new mayor of DeSoto, Rachel Proctor, I went to school with her.
Did you really?
Yes. I was like, oh my gosh, she's the mayor of DeSoto.
How about that?
Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
I'm getting older.
As we all are, we all definitely are. So, so that's the girls' state tournament. Okay. Boys state tournament. You mentioned getting a chance to see the Glen Grizzlies, and you were pretty impressed.
They don't have any, I think, college prospects, but they're just solid. I think it's because they're a shorter team.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no like Greg Brown's on there, no KJ Adams.
Yeah, yeah. So they're going to play at Del Mar again, and they'll be against Beaumont United. So that's in your Region 3.
It's basically a home game for Beaumont.
Yeah, it's 90 miles away.
90?
Yeah.
Well,
but it's a little closer. It's certainly closer than where Glenn's having to go. I will grant you that. It's definitely closer than...
And LISD has a no overnight rule.
Right.
So they can't
go in,
uh-huh,
get out.
And get
yeah.
out.
And by the way, the other two teams involved in that are Amarillo and Kimball from Dallas. Those are your other 5A state semifinalists there in the boys bracket. And then you brought up in 6A, or did you bring up the Westlake Chaparral?
I don't even think I brought them up.
You can bring up the Westlake Chaparral.
How dare I? Shout out to Bo Lucero, son of Coach Lucero, class of 37. He's on the rise.
Okay. They're playing Atascocita, and that game is in San Antonio, the Northside ISD. So you planning to hit that?
Yes. One? Well, no. I'm going to Glenn.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, I don't want
okay.
to go to
Houston. Okay. So Westlake against Atascocita.
I think that's why I forgot about Westlake, because I'm so distraught over this road trip.
Don't get distraught over the road, Snoop. The road is not an unkind place. You just have to know where to. By the way, the other semifinal in 6A, Richardson and Duncanville.
Oh, Duncanville is the one team that's beat Westlake this year.
Yeah, well, they're in the Final Four, so there you are with that one. So there's your Final Four teams there. So very good. Okay, so I just wanted people to know what you were up to this weekend. I think a lot of people know what I was up to because there was a lot of games going on, obviously. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mike Roach, recruiting editor, Horns 24/7, will join Jeff and I, and Jeff will be joining here momentarily as they finish up the Blitz podcast. So he'll join to talk about what's going on as the recruiting efforts continue. Just past 11 o'clock, we'll visit with Vic Schaefer, Texas women's coach. We didn't get a chance to visit with him last Thursday because I was still in COVID testing hell. Just waiting to get tested is what it was. So we didn't get a chance to visit them. But we are going to visit coming up. We'll talk about the end of the regular season and Charlie Collier's announcement yesterday that she is going to forego her senior season and enter the WNBA draft.
She's ready.
Well, and she's going to be drafted in the top two for sure. And Dallas owns both picks, the Dallas Wings. So she'll get a chance to stay at home, one would think it would be that. So, anyway, Beaver Lance Jason said, Jesus of Nazareth, the fighting disciplines, I think he meant the fighting disciples. He wrote disciplines, but I think he meant disciples. But, no, it's the Swiftettes, which in the boys' team are known as the Swifts, which means they were named for all the many Swift foxes that run around up there in the panhandle. That's what that is.
The Disciples would be such a cool mascot.
The Nazareth Disciples. That would be fun. So, Vic Schaefer will join us, and we'll talk about the Texas women's basketball team. That'll be in the 11 o'clock hours. They get ready. They will be the number 5 seed in the Big 12 tournament. They finished 11-7. The almost same record as the men, of course, only played 17 games instead of 18 because of the cancellation of the rematch game with Baylor. So they finished 11-6. But the Texas women finished in fifth place. They'll play Iowa State, the fourth place team. And it's kind of interesting because both Texas teams are playing teams in the Big 12 tournament that they were involved in sweeps against. For the Longhorn men, they finished as the number 3 seed, winners of their last 3 in a row on that road trip, 4 of their last 5, and they will be taking on Texas Tech, the 6th seed. Of course, Tech swept Texas during the regular season, but Texas finished in third place. Texas Tech finished in sixth. Anyway, so they'll play Thursday night, 8:30, which you'll hear on the horn. We'll begin our coverage at 8 o'clock. So that's Thursday night in the quarterfinal round of the Big 12 tournament. Texas against Texas Tech. Friday morning at 10:30, the Texas women play in the quarterfinals. The women's tournament goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The men's tournament, well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, counting the play-in games. The men's tournament goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, counting the play-in games. So the first action for the Texas men is Thursday night at 8:30 against Texas Tech. Texas, the 3-seed, Texas Tech, the 6-seed. The women play Friday morning, 10:30. They're the 5-seed. Iowa State's the 4-seed. Yet Texas swept Iowa State during the course of the year. So both teams with almost identical conference records. Both are playing teams they were involved in sweeps against. The Texas women having swept both games against Iowa State. Texas men having lost both games to Texas Tech. So that's what's happening there. Joined now by the co-host, the pride of Northwest Williamson County, a proud graduate of Florence High School, former All-District offensive lineman of Florence Buffaloes. You know him best for his outstanding work on Horns 24/7, where he just got putting the finishing touches on this week's edition of the Blitz podcast alongside of Rod Babers and Matt Butler. Jeff Howe, good morning to you.
We're sports and hard on a Monday, Craig. We got basketball, baseball, spring football's around the corner, pro day coming up on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
Beats the hell out of what we were doing at this time a year ago, which was a whole lot of nothing.
Well, that's how you were in there recording, and I was opening up the program by saying I was recording something. Snoop was recording me on doing something, and I was talking about how we're getting closer to March Madness, March Madness, March Madness, and I thought, we've been living in madness for a year.
Do you realize, Craig, I wrote this in my story on the site after the game last night, just kind of recapping everything. Do you realize that Big 12 tournament quarterfinal against Tech? That'll be the first postseason game of any kind for the Texas men since the win over Lipscomb to win the NIT.
Yeah, it's true.
That's nuts to think about, but it's
and
true.
Before you think about it, don't do it. Don't do it. People text in with defending NIT champions. They're not defending the NIT.
I mean,
they're in the NCAA. They're going to be in the NCAA, and they'll be, one would imagine, at the very least, a 4-seed. This morning, Joe Lunardi has them as a 3.
Have you seen Joe Lunardi's latest bracket?
I saw it late last night when Eddie Orrin and I were driving back from Fort Worth.
I wonder if just lack of sleep, and he's just trying to just get as much reaction out of people as possible.
I think I know where you're going
in,
with
in
this.
In the same little pod.
Yep.
In the 314 and the 611.
Right.
He had Texas, VCU.
Yep.
And Tennessee all in the same pod.
Not only that, the 14 seed, who would he have them match?
Georgia State, I think.
Yeah, coached by Rob Lanier.
Yeah.
Former Longhorn assistant under Rick Barnes. That's because Georgia State expected to earn the automatic qualifier because Texas State lost in the quarterfinals.
We're going so good. We're going so good.
We had TJ Owens last week. Just heartbroken. Feel bad for them. They were the regular season champions of the Sun Belt Conference. Thought this was truly going to be a great opportunity for them to get in the NCAA tournament for the first time since, 97? And
they don't even get the NIT auto bid this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just, at large is because there's only 16 teams in the field. So, yeah, that was tough. Lost in overtime to Appalachian State. I asked TJ if there was – remember, I asked him if there was some concern because they hadn't played Appalachian State this year. And he said, we hadn't, but we played them last year and a lot of the same guys, and we kind of know. And that it was amazing they were able to get it overtime. They were down 8 with 32 seconds to go. And they hit 4 threes wrapped around a pair of Mountaineer free throws and wound up getting overtime, but they lost in OT. So – there's a decent chance that their season may be done. Hopefully not. Maybe they'll get some postseason out of it, but we know the CIT isn't happening this year. Still no final word on the CBI, is
there? I haven't seen a final word on the CBI,
so I don't know.
I went down this weekend. I just had a lot going on. The fate of the CBI was not top of mind this weekend.
I understand. So anyway, to your point, Texas, according to Joe Lunardi's bracketology, would face Georgia State, which is coached by Rob Lanier, the former Longhorn assistant. A Texas win would propel them in, according to Joe Lunardi, on his bracket, who won a second-round matchup, facing the winner of the 6th seed, which would be Tennessee, coached by Rick Barnes, and the 11th seed, VCU, Shaka's former place of employment. Now, I've heard Joe Lunardi say this before. he says, and he is correct, although I don't know what goes quite as extensively as he says, but he says the NCAA tournament selection committee definitely has a sense of humor. It's the way he describes it. Like, you know, if the matchup works out right, we're going to go into it. It doesn't matter what the history is, mm-hmm. and protocols, yeah. and all that stuff.
Jerry Palm, Craig, has Texas in as a three,
yep.
also. In the pod that he's got him with, Missouri, Maryland is the 6-11, so we get a former Big 12 school. Mm. And speaking of the NIT, the 3-14 is Texas against South Dakota State, who Texas opened the NIT with back in 2019. So we got basketball. We just recorded the Blitz podcast. By the way, I had a little flub at the end of the Blitz this week.
What did you do? Weird.
Well, I was plugging everybody's various projects and what they've got going on and, you know, plugging shows here on the station. And
okay.
I encouraged everybody from 3 to 7 here on the Horn every weekday to listen to the Rodcast.
Did you really?
Yeah. Which,
did Rod?
I caught my, we had a laugh and I caught myself.
So you get tickled about that?
Katie, BK, my apologies. We corrected it on the show. Matt left it in there. But yes, the Rodcast hasn't existed in a while. But you can catch Rod today, 3 to 7 on the triple option with RBKD. So there was that. And by the way, I sent you guys the video. Craig and you, Snoop, I sent you guys the video. My daughter had her first full league baseball game, T-ball game, over the weekend, which it's kind of like herd and catch. You've got parents and kids, everybody's out there. They're having to kind of guide everybody base to base. So that was a whole lot of fun.
You know, the thing that impressed me most about that video that you shared was she hit the ball. She put it in play. She had a solid base hit. Now, a few tiny little things to clean up about Al. Once you do hit it, you are supposed to actually run to first base. There is that. But that can be that's an easy cleanup thing there through coaching. Is just you actually run to first base. You don't take a turn. You don't turn around and go. You don't get. She also got confused because I think there was a runner on first, and she saw the other runner going to second. She thought, "Am I supposed to go join her over there?"
Her hat flew off.
That was the biggest thing.
So that kind of, I think, threw her all out of balance, and
she was discombobulated without the hat. So she went back over, picked up her hat, recombobulated, and then went back to first. And by the way, if you think that's not a word, you're incorrect. I've shared this before. In 2014, when the Longhorn men's basketball team reached the second round of the NCAA tournament, lost in Milwaukee to Michigan.
Yep.
The next morning, very early, like 5:30 in the morning, I'm at the Milwaukee airport flying to Baltimore to do a women's first round game, because the men played, if memory serves, Thursday, Saturday. You had the Cam Ridley put back bucket to beat Arizona State on Thursday night, and then on Saturday evening they lost to Michigan. Sunday morning I'm flying out because I've got a Sunday afternoon women's first round game in College Park, Maryland, Texas against Penn. And I'm hustling the airport, and I get to the airport, and I go through there, and of course you go through the security, and you remove your shoes, you remove your belt, all that other kind of stuff. You pass all your stuff back through, and then when you collect all your stuff, you know the area where you go and you sit down and put your shoes back on? Big sign above it in the Milwaukee airport, and it reads, and I quote, recombobulation area. I took a picture of it at the time. That's where you recombobulate. So if you become discombobulated, you go and you recombobulate there. So it is work.
Snoop, where is your recombobulation area? You got one in your house?
No.
He was telling, while you were still working, he was sharing with us how discombobulated he became driving to Houston, driving all around the area to see high school basketball.
So is just the producer's booth, is that your recombobulation area?
I would say. Okay. This is my peace zone.
Everything is, it's in order. You know where everything is.
All right. Well, there we go. Yeah, somebody said, CB says, hey, Craig, welcome back, bro. Bro, yeah.
Welcome back, bro.
Welcome back, bro. So
we got a good Blitz podcast. That'll be on your podcast feeds tomorrow. You can also catch that. I've got to check the schedule because we've had baseball and stuff, so I'll let everybody know when you can hear that on the Horn this week. But
a baseball game tomorrow night against Sam Houston State, who comes off beating TCU, by the way, ninth-ranked Horn Frogs. So, and of course, the Longhorn baseball team, and I was in Houston on Friday and Saturday. So, after being in Norman on Thursday night for that very important Texas win for the men's basketball team, it was down to Houston on Friday. Ty Madden, brilliant performance, two-hit shutout. walked two, struck out 14, and he did it all in 110 pitches. That's really impressive when you can strike out 14 batters and walk two, by the way, and allow two hits and did it all in 110 pitches. That's why he went the distance on the complete game. So who am I voting on my ballot for Big 12 Pitcher of the Week? I think you know. That was Friday night. And then the Longhorns lost a heartbreaker on a walk-off homer. With Bilimovich hitting the walk-off homer on Saturday afternoon. Houston won that in 11 innings, 3-2. But the Longhorns came back and pounded Houston yesterday, won 8-2 to take 2 of 3. Big week for Longhorn baseball. Like I said, a really good and competitive Sam Houston State team coming to UFCU Dish Falk Field tomorrow evening, 6:30. On the horn, and our coverage begins at 6:15. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the South Carolina Gamecocks come to town. Now, South Carolina was ranked 14th. They're going to go up. They're 10 and 0 right now, and they're playing the Citadel on Wednesday. So I think they'll probably win that game. I think you're going to see the Gamecocks come to town, Jeff, ranked higher, and South Carolina will come in at 11-0 for this for the weekend series against Texas.
The new D1 baseball top 25 just came out.
Yep.
You're right. South Carolina up two spots to number 12.
Number 12. Okay. Longhorns?
Holding steady at 19.
Okay. All right. So that's what you're going to have on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at UFCU Dish Falk Field.
Arkansas still number one, if anybody is concerned about that.
So there you go. All right, coming up next, Mike Roach, recruiting editor, Horns 24/7, joins us. Again, just past 11 o'clock, Vic Schaefer to talk Texas women's basketball, the end of the regular season, previewing the Big 12 Conference Tournament, Charlie Collier's decision and announcement to turn pro after this year to enter the WNBA draft. We'll have all of that. We'll talk more Longhorn men's hoop action as they get ready for the matchup with Texas Tech. It's talk about a redo coming full circle, coming up on the 1 year anniversary of when that was shut down.
The Big 12 quarterfinal that never happened will happen finally.
Texas and Texas Tech were on the floor going through warm-ups, and I was on the air with you because we had just started our show. I was courtside there on the air. We had not taken air on the network yet, and then it all got shut down.
I was supposed to do just like a 30-minute lead-in, and then right as soon, about 5 minutes after I went on the air, that's when all hell broke loose.
Yep. So that's when it happened. So anyway, 1 year later, Texas and Texas Tech will play after all, albeit on Thursday night. All right, we'll talk about all that and more when we continue with Light the Tower here on The Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, where we're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
B&E.
Pretty soon, you're that age, you'll be mall walking here shortly. I mean, you'll be out at the mall in your,
as long as they can keep those,
your white sneakers, walking with your hands behind your back and your head down.
with a little sweatsuit on, you mean?
Yeah.
Matching sweatsuit.
Yeah, you'll have your Soprano
sweatsuit. My wife will have matching
sweatsuit.
This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Greg Way, Jeff Howe with you. Up till the noon hour today. It's time for our football notes segment of the program. It is brought to you, as always, at Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out online at cpdoors.com. And, Jeff, that, of course, means our almost always Monday weekly guest at this time.
Unless he's got something going on, which usually after a long weekend, he just got done doing something, and he did this weekend. Torrance 24/7 recruiting editor Mike Roach joining us right now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline.
Mike, do you have something going on right now, Mike, or just because of what Jeff said when you had everything going on over the weekend, now you're able to unplug, decompress for a day or so, if that's possible?
I've got the morning to do some work, and then the afternoon we'll be back out at two schools today. South side of Dallas, I'm going to Duncanville and South Oak Cliff to see their guys later today. But right now I am free.
It's a little bit of talent at both those schools, Mike.
Yeah, I'm expecting to talk to a few guys.
I wanted to ask you, Mike, about the wide receiver position. We've gone into detail, you and I, our staff at Horns 24/7, we kind of put together everything we had heard, we're hearing at the end of the Tom Herman era on the team front, the recruiting front, and it seemed like, man, that wide receiver room, no fault of Andre Coleman's that it was just kind of discombobulated, to borrow a word we were using in the last segment. You know, we know they're getting things straightened out on the team. And in terms of recruiting, Mike, are you seeing, you know, Tom Herman had, he wanted this type of guy for an X receiver and this type of guy for an H receiver, et cetera. There's nothing wrong with that. Are you just seeing a different approach by Steve Sarkisian and Andre Coleman just in terms of the types of receivers they're going after in this 22 cycle?
Yeah, I wrote about it kind of this morning in the Stampede. As you know, as we get more view into who they're offering, we get more clues into what they want. And I think if you look at what Alabama did at receiver when Steve Sarkisian was there, and kind of the way they've gone about making offers, you know, this is a staff that is prioritizing size way less. Not to say that, you know, they don't want guys with great size, but you have to be able to run, and you've got to be able to make plays in space to separate for this team. And that's kind of the view right now. You know, I mean, if you take a look at the two guys they have committed, Armani Winfield is, you know, one of the better deep threats in the state of Texas. And I mean, I would say I've always kind of been cautious when I've said Evan Stewart is one of the best guys in America. I mean, athletes in America. I think you could probably say he is, you know, in that conversation very much to be one of the best athletes in America. But those are guys who can make get the ball, make plays in space. And I think that it's going far more away from, we just need big guys to dominate on the outside physically and guys who can do something with the ball.
Which is an interesting dichotomy, isn't it, Mike, in what they're scouting, what they're looking at, what they're evaluating when they're wanting the speed but wanting the physicality that you're pointing out, depending on what category and what position that you're evaluating at the time. Because right now it's kind of a cookie jar, isn't it? I mean, all the different areas that they're trying to approach, attack, attain, and achieve to help bolster the talent level and the talent pool for this program going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's kind of you've also got to deal with what you've currently got on the roster and how to use that, right? And so a new coach is always going to pay for what the former coach did for the past couple of years, or at least have that to work with. So I think what they're trying to do is just find a nice blend of guys that fit. You know, I just watching kind of the guys that I know they're prioritizing right now, it seems like their most important traits are, again, like I said, quickness and size, and really just the ability to get open and catch the ball. They don't need you to be Randy Moss or Calvin Johnson or anything like that. It's just get open, catch the ball, and make some yards after the catch.
Horns 24/7 recruiting editor Mike Roach joining us here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Mike, I want to stay on offense and talk about another position you wrote about today. And by the way, Mike's edition of the Stampede this week drops every Monday morning, 8 a.m. It's Mike's collection of news, notes, and nuggets on the recruiting trail as it involves the Longhorns and relates to the 40 acres, basically breaking down the entire recruiting board. Mike, one position I wanted to go over with you is tight end. And this is a position that the numbers on campus, speaking about working with what you've got, the numbers at that position on campus are really high. They've got guys in that room that have some years of eligibility left. Can Jeff Banks, in his first full cycle, can he be really picky in terms of what he adds, knowing that they've got guys that, you know, whether it's Gunnar Helm or Juan Davis or even a Braden Leibrock, a guy like that, that they've got some guys that they can still develop and have some time with?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's that's kind of, too, looking at the way tight end is going, it was always kind of a mixed bag under Tom Herman. You know, it fluctuated year to year from, do we want a guy that's a dynamic pass-catching threat, or do we want a guy who is – you know, a blocker. And I think, you know, they really wanted the guy that could ultimately do both. But I think, again, this offense is going to be about creating mismatches, putting defenders into conflict. And the best way to do that is to have a dynamic pass catching tight end. So, you know, for me, I think they've got kind of those guys on campus. Like Braden Leibrock was that, you know, when he was in high school. I think even I'm curious to see, you know, where Malcolm Epps ends up on this roster. So, definitely think that the tight end room will undergo another change for sure. One thing I thought that Tom Herman did well is they did kind of restock the talent in that room. I think they've got some really interesting bodies and some really interesting talents there.
Mike, one kid I'm really intrigued by, so we'll call him a local kid from the greater Austin area, Jared Kerr out of Lexington. He plays all over the field in high school. In your recruiting board piece in the Stampede, you've got him listed with the safeties. Could this be a situation where he's maybe a guy that if Texas took him. If he landed at Texas, you take him and maybe kind of let him figure out where he best fits?
Yeah, I mean, I really kind of like him as a safety nickel defender, but, I mean, he does so much for Lexington that it's kind of a case of you could play him in a number of different types of positions. I think that, you know, for Kerr, it's really about, and you see it a lot with those smaller school guys, you know, they kind of have to do the heavy lifting at their small high schools and then kind of figure it out when they get to college. But I do really like him kind of as a safety or nickel defender.
Mike, Sark mentioned this, I think it was, I don't remember if it was the signing day press conference or one around there. I know he's done a lot of interviews lately. But talking about, you know, one of the challenges in the 22 cycle was stepping it up in terms of virtual visits and giving recruits the best experience possible, knowing that we're still in a dead period. What's the feedback you've gotten to this point on some of the virtual visits that have been conducted with the staff?
You know, I think probably the word I've heard most is like thorough. And a recurring theme I've been talking about is how involved Steve Sarkisian's been in everything. You know, I feel like we're in this period where I'm comparing everything Tom Herman did to what Steve Sarkisian's did. And it may sound like I'm constantly bagging on Herman, but those comparisons are the best way to understand, you know, where improvements in recruiting are made. And I was told on a number of occasions that, you know, Herman would join a virtual visit, say hi, start off the visit, and then jump off immediately. And that was noticed by a lot of guys, whereas Sarkisian's been intricately involved in a lot of them, staying on all the way through, talking to the kids. So that's been a big part. They've been thorough in their presentation. I mean, these guys know how to recruit. It's just a staff full of guys that understand what they're doing, and they've adapted well to the changes of COVID-19, and so that's where they're going from there.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing, Mike. I mean, you know, we did the same thing going from – just, again, I sound like a broken record when I say this on the show. We've had too much experience doing this. We did the same thing going from Mac Brown to Charlie Strong, then Charlie Strong to Tom Herman, and now Tom Herman to Steve Sarkisian. So the immediate comparison is apropos. Mike, as we go forward, you know, you can look at some of the positions where Texas has already gotten guys in this 22 class. You know, Steve Sarkisian's got his quarterback with Malik Murphy. They've got their running back in Jaden Blue. They've got two receivers that they really like, and they're on the hunt for more. But Mike, which position group, however you want to take this, which area you think has the most upside in terms of where Texas sits right now to where they could be by the end of the cycle?
I think if you look at probably, I would say the offensive line, frankly. I mean, I think that this could be a year where they bounce back and really find guys that can really kind of fix the problems they've been having up front. I think that Kyle Flood has been doing a great job. I actually have a story coming out in about an hour and a half regarding Nato Umezulo, who's an offensive lineman at Allen, talking about how consistent they've been with contact, which was just a problem the last couple of years. I think that really there's a chance. I mean, they could sweep the in-state targets they have on their board. And so, I think offensive line, and that's probably great news to hear for Texas fans.
Yeah, what about the other side of the line of scrimmage, Mike? I know Christopher Ross, the big defensive lineman from North Shore, has got a decision coming up here pretty soon. Where do things stand right now recruiting on the defensive line? Specifically, you know, we just got done recording a Longhorn Blitz podcast about this. You know, that outside linebacker position is one that, you know, they're going to take care of it right now through the transfer portal, but that's one that they're going to need to hit on some targets on the recruiting trail to beef that thing up and get the kind of hybrid defenders in this program that Pete Kwiatkowski wants for those two outside linebacker spots.
Yeah, you know, that's probably the biggest question I have right now, just because there's not a lot of that talent available in the state of Texas. You know, there are some interior guys, Christopher Ross and Jure Bledsoe, Bear Alexander, who's already off the board to Georgia. But when you try to find the edge rushing types or the outside linebackers, I think that's probably the most intriguing part of it. There are some guys in state who I think can fit that mold, like Amaria Boer at Duncanville, but, you know, Texas isn't exactly running in the lead there. And they're going to have to find those bodies elsewhere, I think, in this case, unless some guys really emerge this spring.
Mike, last question for you, and you alluded to this earlier, you know, to some extent, when you have a change of this nature, the current regime, the new regime, is going to have to pay for some sins of the previous regime. And we just talked about the virtual visit and just the communication. Is that the biggest, I guess, hurdle to climb, area of improvement? Is that the biggest one for Steve Sarkisian and this staff in terms of what needs to get fixed and cleaned up on the recruiting trail?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, I think, I don't know if there's one specific area. You know, I think a lot of it was just a staleness with the program.
Yeah.
Same old year after year, and they've got to, you know, they've got to change that. They've got to get out of the cycle of, you know, it's great every couple of years if you hire a coach and you get that first year coach bump, that class is great. But then if you get back into that same cycle of in a couple of years, everything's stale again, you know, it's just never really going to fit. So they've obviously got to figure out how to win. I mean, that's the most important thing on the field. And I think that solves that problem. But, you know, the message was getting stale. I think the brand was stale. It's new again, but they really got to do something with it going forward.
He's Mike Roach, recruiting editor. Outstanding work, as always, at Horns 24/7. And we always appreciate him joining us on Monday mornings. Mike, thank you. And, you know, yeah, get caught up and then get back out there on the road. We know that's your deal. We appreciate it.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
It is his deal. He's very good at it.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, Inconceivable. That's next here on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Just because there's a new number at the top of your calendar doesn't mean your toilet is less...
Inconceivable! 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 Inconceivable!
You keep using the horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
It always means it's brought to you by our good friend, Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and his staff at Austin Orthopedics. They specialize in the prevention of sports-related injuries and minimally invasive and non-surgical techniques. Check them out online at austin-orthopedics.com. Okay, a couple of updates on things. You wanted to know the official reopening date of Disneyland since it's been shut down, you know?
Disneyland?
Disneyland.
Disney World has been open, right?
Right.
Okay.
Now, Disneyland... Have you been to either Disney theme park, Snoop? I'm trying to remember if you've been. I know you had a sheltered childhood growing up, but your parents thought that Mickey Mouse was the devil or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Donald Duck, satanic or something. I don't know. But anyway.
like Mama Boucher where everything is the devil.
Yeah, right. Anyway, April 1st. So you're right. You know, Disney World's been open for a while, but Disneyland, the original one, reopens on April 1st.
Cool.
Just to let you know that. Yeah. So plan your trip, right? Remember when we used to watch we watched the moon landings? Of course, those happened before probably you guys were born. But when we watched them, the astronauts had to go into quarantine. Right when they landed, they put them like in a big Airstream trailer type thing, and they would stay in there for like 3 weeks, you know.
That's rough.
Yeah. So finally, what's come out is exactly why they were in there. You know, the reason that was said was that they didn't know if the astronauts were exposed to harmful bacteria or other unknown elements when they were on the lunar surface, that kind of thing. The mission was the first time that the humans had interacted with the surface of another celestial body there with Apollo 11, and the doctors closely monitored the astronauts while a separate team studied. And then there was another reason. They were concerned about the moon rocks. They thought that there might be microorganisms or other organisms, that there might be potential life that could have been brought back from the moon in the lunar samples. You know, like some weird lunar creature that upon unearthing it there, fossilized, may mutate and grow into something, you know, big, something spatial that none of us can understand, right? Just ask Baker Mayfield.
So it's kind of like a gremlin, but not really.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So like I said, you know.
Think of a good way to put that. I got nothing. So.
Yeah, no. That kind of makes sense. Okay. You know, we're coming up on spring break. You know. Now, some colleges, in fact, a lot of colleges, are not doing spring break.
Right.
Found that out from my youngest son the other night, who was a student at Midwestern State University. I said, "You coming home for spring break?" "Dad, I don't think we have one." "You know what? No. It's just, you know, they're just," because they get done like at the end of April. I think they're going to just accelerate everything back up. So, no spring break. There's no spring break in several other schools. Ohio State is one. There's several institutions there.
Childhood's being stripped away from them.
Well, apparently not everywhere, Snoop. See, because it says spring break does begin for hundreds of universities this month. And we know what typical spring break revelry is all about. It leads to
debauchery.
Yeah, just, you know.
Just plain old debauchery.
Snoop, did you ever leave Corsicana during spring break? You know,
remember,
when you were at Navarro College?
Once I got out from under my parents, I went nuts.
Yeah.
So
the first year when you flunked out, where did you go on spring break?
I didn't flunk. Well, almost. I got a
academic probation?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Because I was in student government.
Yeah.
So I did a good job for the school, but my grades weren't. Yeah. Anyway.
Where'd you go for spring break?
Padre. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Jeff, in your time at then Southwest Texas State University, did you avail yourself of a spring break opportunity?
No, I couldn't afford any to go anywhere, so I just rolled quarters, nickels, dimes, and pennies and bought a bunch of Boone's Farm and got drunk at my apartment.
Okay. You celebrated in your own way.
Yeah.
A couple of times I was working concerts and stuff, so I didn't go. I was working, so I didn't go. But I did do one. My buddy Alex and I decided we were going to do, one time, Fort Lauderdale. Jumped in the car, drove all night, down there, and hanging out at the Penrods and all those places, where it was going down. So
by the time you get there, don't you just want to take a nap?
That's exactly what we did when we got there. So it was a lot of that before we got going. But there's a lot of concern about the hundreds of universities having spring break. And any typical spring break revelry could lead to countless more Americans getting infected. So they're worried about, the virus spreading. But more than just the virus spreading, Jeff.